Good morning, brothers and sisters. Reach for that blessed book of yours, the Bible, and turn to Psalm 8. We are looking at praise from the puny. And we saw the introductory verse there in verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. Now, from verse 2 through verse 8, we get into the outline. Two contrasts that cause us to praise the majesty of our God. Two stark contrasts that stir our hearts to praise. Two contrasts that ignite and fuel our worship of the majesty of God. Let's look at the first one this morning, verse 2. The contrast between babes and bullies. Between babes and bullies. Don't forget table talk. Each day after these devotions, talk about as a family. These contrasts. Talk about how we can apply this in our homes, in our worship, in a higher view of God, in a more correct view of man. This is going to shape our whole view of history. Between babes and bullies. Look at verse 2. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. God's glory transcends the highest heavens, beloved, and yet it's also found in the smallest mouths. Do you see that? Verse 2, God's majesty is found in the most unlikely places, on the lips of the most unexpected people. You see, this is a gorgeous world full of God's majesty, as we saw in verse 1, but it's also a world full of God's enemies. It's a fallen, broken, beaten and battered world, as we've been experiencing. Painfully, have we not, in this corona crisis and all the responses to it. To make the enemy and the revengeful cease, verse 2. Ever since Satan fell from heaven, he and his demons have forever been on the rampage, attacking God and his people. The history of Israel, the history of the church, is but one long list of one battle after another. Warfare upon warfare, persecution and imprisonment, slander and heresy, all targeting God and his people. What then does God want us to do about all these enemies of his and of ours? Well, verse 2 says, from the mouths of infants and nursing babes, you've established strength because of your adversaries. God wants to establish strength, in other words, to ordain praise, it could also be translated. He wants a song to be sung about how strong he is, about what a bulwark and a fortress and a refuge he is. From whose lips? Upon whose mouths does God most love to put this victory chant and cause this song to be sung? Verse 2 says, from the mouths of infants and nursing babes. God doesn't only want his praise chanted from the starry heavens. He also wants it echoed from the cradle and from the creche. Don't miss David's point and principle here in verse 2. And a theme throughout Scripture, God loves to use the weak to defeat the mighty. Doesn't that give you hope? I find great comfort in that. God loves to use the weak to defeat the mighty. Now, if you're a Tolkien fan, you'll know this is the what we call the Hobbit principle, that God delights in taking the most unlikely little Bilbos and Frodos, the most unexpected instruments, the most odd characters, to use them in the greatest of causes and the most noble of enterprises. Why? All so that God gets all the glory and so that no one can boast but in him alone. As 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 repeatedly proclaims, the Apostle Paul says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the strong, and the base things of the world, and the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before God. That God gets all the glory. Now, literally here in verse 2, who stuns us more with God's splendor and majesty than a little precious newborn baby, as some of our mothers in Antioch are expecting, and some who've whose babies have just arrived and can't wait to hold them and be together again as a church family and celebrate. What preacher can tell us of God's greatness better than a little helpless, gurgling, cooing baby that's just entered the world a few days or weeks ago, fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image, as Psalm 139 celebrates, with an eternal soul in the likeness of the Almighty, an undying, everlasting soul. I'm sure you've also delighted at times in the simple faith of a child that can expose our unbelief and rebuke God's enemies. Have you noticed, by the way, friends? It takes a lot of education to turn a child into an atheist. They got to get a lot of degrees to actually become evolutionists, it seems. From the mouth of babes comes some of the best insights, restating the obvious, silencing a room full of adults and intellectuals with basic truths that even a child can see. Talk about that today at your tables. Many examples could be given. As John Calvin said, babes and sucklings are the invincible champions of God. Turn over to Matthew 21 for a moment. Jesus has just made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, chased all the money changers out of the temple. And what sound do we hear? Matthew 21 from verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they became indignant. And they said to Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus answered from Psalm 8, "Yes, have you never read?" What a rebuke to these experts of the law, these leading theologians. Have you never read? Open your own book, the Bible, the Old Testament that they had. Jesus says, "Have you never read? Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise for yourself." And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany and spent the night there. Fox's Book of Martyrs tells something of how children stood by martyrs who were burned at the stake to encourage and cheer them on to the very end. George Whitefield, famous preacher of the Great Awakening, tells about how when he'd get mocked and scoffed in the for his open-air preaching, he writes, "Several little boys and girls who were fond of sitting around me on the pulpit while I preached and handed to me people's notes, though they were often pelted with eggs and dirt and mud and muck and mire," he says, "never once did these children give way. They were unshaken. On the contrary," he says, "every time I was struck, it was the children who turned up their little weeping eyes and seemed to wish they could receive the blows for me. God make them in their growing years," he writes, "great and living martyrs for Christ, who out of the mouth of babes and sucklings perfects his praise." That's literally what this psalm means. But think also, David probably has a figurative point here in mind as well. How often did God take the little Jewish nation, the Gideon's band of 300, and give them victory against Gentile nations far larger, tens of thousands of Moabites, for example? Joseph going from prison to becoming a prime minister. David defeating Goliath, Esther rescuing the entire Jewish nation. God loves to use the weak to defeat the mighty. Most of all, look at the cross, that God would crush Satan through a bleeding, suffering sacrifice, that victory would come through defeat, a crown through a cross, triumph through agony. Oh, friends, this is the irony of God's majesty in Psalm 8 and in the whole story of salvation. As we see in the book of Acts, a little band of 12 apostles transforming whole nations with the gospel. A few Christian witnesses turning cities upside down with the truth of God's word. That God would ever use any of us must prove the truth of this verse. And that we are strongest when we are weak and richest when we are poor, as the epistles of the New Testament often speak of. Oh, friends, stop doubting that God can use you, even you, yes, you, little you and me. If he can use infants, if he can use Balaam's donkey, he can even use me and you for his praise. From the mouths of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. God loves to use the weak to defeat the mighty. Isaac Watts has a hymn called The Hosannas of Children. Almighty ruler of the skies, through the wide earth thy name is spread, and thine eternal glories rise o'er all the heavens thy hands have made. To thee the voices of the young a monument of honor raise, and babes with uninstructed tongue declare the wonders of thy praise. Thy power assists their tender age to bring proud rebels to the ground, to still the bold blasphemer's rage and all their policies confound. Children amidst thy temple throng to see their great Redeemer's face, the Son of David is their song, and young hosannas fill the place. Amen. See you tomorrow morning.